Tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my Bible's so hot. Would you pray? Glory. You know what? There's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you know what? And that's the kingdom of God. You know what? It says in Colossians 1:13, it says that we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. So if you're born again, you're living in that kingdom. And in that kingdom is the flow of righteousness. That means you have right living. And there's right standing with God. And you have peace and you have joy in the Holy Ghost. And when you get out of righteousness, when you get out of peace, what happens? Last week we were talking about our Sunday. Was that Sunday? When was it? Oh no, Pastor Ike was here Sunday. It was last Wednesday. Yeah. When you get out of peace, that's when your body begins to get sick. One of the biggest causes of sickness and disease is getting out of peace. And you get into worry. You get into fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And doubt starts to come in about the word of God. You know what? As we were pumped into us this last weekend, the word is true. What God says about you, the word is true. For one thing, we're already healed. We're the healed, and the devil's trying to make us sick. And so you know what? We need to stand on those things. Really stand on it. It makes no difference. When I was in California, I looked at that bed and, you are beckoning me. Because I didn't feel good when I got there. Because we stayed up all night because they canceled our flight. Then, who cares? But you know what? See, that's coming against. You can give up on those things. But when you have to fight the good fight of faith, and you have to keep pressing in to the high call of the mark of the high call of God. And it's a high call. And in these times, God wants to use us. There's going to be revival in all the earth. It's starting all over the place. And there's revival. And he wants to use people who know, who can lay hands on the sick, who can raise people from the dead, who can lay hands on people and parts will grow out. I'm not kidding you. That's what's going to happen in this last days. And God wants to use us, and we need to prepare for it. Amen. But you need to believe the word. And as we saw from our speaker, the thing that you really need to know is who you are in Christ and what he expects you to do. Tonight we're going to take off a little bit on that. But I just want you to know that Jesus is still ministering up in the heavenlies for you. You know, he didn't just raise from the dead, go up there, and that was it. See, people think that Jesus is in charge of everything. He turned over his authority to us. And because he turned that authority over to us, certain things have to be spoken on the earth in order for God, for those prayers to go up into that bowl up in heaven so he can in turn turn it around and pour it out. And that's the truth. I've got scripture for all that. Anyway, okay, well, you can be seated, and we're going to, well, let's see. Okay, Lord. You know what? We'll receive the tithes and offerings, but just wait. First of all, let's go to Ephesians 1, and we're actually going to pray this for ourselves tonight, which we should be praying every single day. As you pray this, Ephesians 1, 16, and I do want to pray it out of the Amplified tonight. And I'm actually going to start the sermon and then stop and take the tithes and offerings and then, because there's a part in it. Okay, you all ready? Amplified, Ephesians 1, 16. I do not cease to give thanks, and it says for you, and that means for whoever you want to pray for yourself, for your relatives. You could put people's names in there, right? Making mention of these people in our prayers. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I hope so, the Father of glory, that he may grant unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and the secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. When you, now just stop for 1 second, revelation, now when you get revelation knowledge, you start to be a doer of the word. When the rubber meets the road, my famous saying. Anyway, but see, the whole point behind this Christianity, it's like our everyday life and conquering those things that try to come against us. Depression. See, you know, coming against that. Living a life of righteousness, peace, and joy. And you have to learn, and you'd learn it from the Word of God. And when you get revelation knowledge of Him, you know something like somebody slaps you right in the face. It was just a few weeks ago, somebody wrote something bad about us on Facebook, kind of. And you know what? I have to, you know, you have to overcome that stuff. Forgive, and you have to love them. Maybe some of you didn't see it. I'm not even going to mention it. But those are things you can sit and in the mud. You can be down and depressed. You're right? You could just say, oh, my children aren't doing this, and this is happening, and that's happening, and this is happening. And I used to sit on the couch and cry, but now I know how to fight that whole thing. You fight it. You fight the good fight of faith. You purposely get up and you say, victory is mine. It doesn't make any difference if you have tears running down your cheeks. That's revelation knowledge of applying the word when something happens. When somebody says something bad about you, when somebody slaps you in the face, literally slaps you in the face, or whatever. Okay, now verse 18, it says, by the eyes of your heart, of your spirit, man, flooded with light. The world system, and, you know, there's really only two kingdoms on this earth, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. And this world system, most of that is darkness. But God, we want God to flood our hearts with light. Why? So we can know and understand the hope to which he has called us. And how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's you. Set apart ones. You don't have to be canonized to be a saint. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable. It's immeasurable. You can't even measure it. And unlimited and surpassing greatness of what? What is so immeasurable? What's so great? What surpasses greatness? It says of his power. Then it says in you, in and for us who believe. You got power in you. And he demonstrated that power when in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You got resurrection power in you. And he seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all, now this is the ranks of the demons. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And every single name, names of sicknesses and diseases, names of lack, names of, COVID, names of depression and oppression, diseases. I guess I said that. Every name that is named above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but in the age and world which are to come. And we may be in that age and world that are to come because that was written a long time ago. And he has put all things under his. Who's his? Jesus' feet. And has appointed Jesus, the universal and supreme head of the church. Now, who is the church? But who's that? Born again people. That's right. And they may be in every denomination, but the church is not the denominations. It's all the born again people in those churches. Okay. A headship exercised throughout the church, which is the church. Now it says the church, which is his body. So we're the hands, the feet, the fingers, the toes, the ankles, the joints, the knees, the whatever. Parts, we are parts of the body. And as you know, there's a lot of people that don't come to church. And those parts, it's like if I had a part of my body missing, it hurts, doesn't it? Or it's limited. You're limited because there's parts missing. That's why we got to get people. Anyway, which is his body, the fullness of him when everybody works together, who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete. And who fills everything, everywhere with himself. You go to Walmart, and you're bringing light to Walmart. You're bringing yours. I know, folks, we go over this and over this, but can you see? You got to go over it and over it and over it. Now, Ephesians 2:6. Remember it said that he raised Jesus up at his own right hand in the heavenly places? And it says, and he raised us up together with him. And he made us, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, he made you to sit down together, giving you joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere, just by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus the Messiah. Now, that means that place, so that seating at that right hand of the Father is the highest place of authority in the universe, higher than any kings of any nations, of anybody. Any politicians, we're higher in the authority realm. And we need to take our authority. God's waiting for us to take that authority. So tonight, all right, we're going to see those things that Jesus is still doing for us. Turn to Hebrews 9, verse 12. I guess that's what I wanted. And we're going to do this out of the King James. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, and you know what? They always used to have to kill all kinds of, and shed, they had to shed blood. It says, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. The Israelites would have to do this all the time, though, to purify their flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, that one, the one sacrifice Jesus made ended the slaughter of all those animals, right? And carrying that blood into the Holy of Holies. Now, the goats and the, it's just that they had to keep doing this. And can you think of the mess it was? They had to keep cleaning it up. See, so Jesus was made the sin bearer once and for all times. He took our sins. Now think about that. He took them, and he took the penalty for it so we didn't have to. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, I love that scripture. And put that in the King James too. It says, for he became, this is the way I say it anyway, he became sin for us who never knew any sin. Jesus never knew one sin, but he took on all of our sins. Why? So we could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so he made us righteous. Now, when we stand before him, he sees us as righteous through the blood. Okay, so it was the end of that Holy of Holies on the earth. Do you remember sometimes we sing that song, the veil was torn, the doors were opened wide, and we could see the glory inside. We ran inside and saw the glory. That means we can go directly to the throne of grace. You can go, you know where the Holy of Holies is now? Anybody know? If you are born again, it's in you. See, those are things we need to know who we are in Christ so we can get out there and be bold. Oh, you know what? That Holy of Holies came to live inside of man. And you know, Jesus gave his life for us. And so, you know, in that we think of his death and then we think of his resurrection. And you know, when I was in my denomination for 39 years, we, you know, every Easter we would see that and, you know, kiss the cross and cry. But you know what? That whole thing was good news. That Jesus became, I can't even cry about that anymore. He suffered a terrible, terrible death for our sins. And he was tortured for our sicknesses and diseases and beaten for them before that. But we need to grow. We need to go to a higher standard. We need to go to higher places in Christ and not just stay there, right? And say, God, thank you for doing that. That what a wonderful miracle that was. That you did that for us. No, really, I mean, really, really thank him. You see, the whole thing with Christianity, what I was tired of was plain religion and people who were insincere in their hearts. Just a bunch of words. In fact, you know what? We're reading through the Bible, and in Matthew, we hit on that. In fact, wait a minute. I think it was Matthew 13. Might have been. Yeah. Well, okay. Okay, this is what it says. You pretenders, you hypocrites. Admirably and truly did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts hold off and are far away. Uselessly do they worship me, for they teach his doctrines, the commands of men. And Jesus called the people to him and said to them, listen and grasp and comprehend this. Get a working knowledge of this. It is not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles him. And you know, that scripture, the first time I read through the Bible, I put down my the initials of the church. Because I've recognized a lot of things. The doctrines of men, the holidays that were to be observed, the food that was not supposed to be eaten. A lot of works and dead things. A lot of things. Now I lost it. It says almost the same thing exactly in Isaiah. Anyway. I think it's Isaiah. Oh, it doesn't make any difference. Okay, let's go on with this. Anyway, but this is the whole point. Jesus is still alive. I'm not getting much response from you. And you know what? It isn't pulling it out of me. Jesus is still alive, and he's ministering for us. He's still working for us, but he's working for us in the heavenly holy of holies. That's where he's at. He's in the heavenly holy. He's the high priest of our confession of faith. That's why we can get so vehement about what we say out of our mouth. See, he's seated at the Father's right hand, and he's done everything for us. We're seated with him. You know, Buddha, Muhammad, Hare Krishna, popes, they're all dead. But our Jesus is alive. And he is still ministering. He lives for us. And he is the Lord of all and possesses all authority in heaven and earth. The thing is, he turned it over to us. He wants us to take authority. He turned it over to us in the Great Commission. And he has conquered Satan already. He has conquered sin already. He's conquered disease and death. And you see, that's why we can't let, like, witchcraft in the town. Remember that time you called me about that? I mean, we started coming against it with authority. They're gone, aren't they? I think. Yeah. Strip places. They were all gone. We came against three of them. In fact, we marched around them. And at one time, I got caught by one of the bouncers. He said, "What are you doing?" I mean, "What are you doing?" "Oh, we're just praying for you." My heart was going boom, 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 boom. It's all right. We got rid of him. But you know what? You can live in, we have got to get to know this so we can minister to other people. You know what's happening? We're constantly coming and go, "I'm coming to church so I can get some help." We need to come to church to help others. We need to bring people to church. See, we can live in freedom and victory because he turned his authority over to us. And we can act fearlessly on his word because he backs it up. When we use that authority, and all of heaven backs you up. He is the surety. He is the guarantee of the word. And when God the Father accepted that blood of Jesus Christ, you know what? It is still alive on that mercy seat. That blood didn't dry up. Like when we bleed and you leave it sit, it dries up. That blood is still alive. It's alive. And we were legally taken from the auction block of Satan's authority. And he bought us back with his blood. People, there's slavery. They go on the auction block. I mean, even I think that's even sex trafficking. You know what? They go on an auction block and they buy them out. Well, Jesus bought, this is the same thing. Or when they had slaves way back, and he bought us with the price of his blood. And you know, you could just say those words, see? It's just words that you say, but is it down in your heart? Does it make you excited? And you have to get to that point where this Christianity is real, or you're back into religion. Okay. Anyway, we were restored back in fellowship with Father God. And he put sin away. And he sanctified us. He sanctified people who receive him. Now, nobody ever told me I had to receive him. Nobody told me that. Until a teacher witnessed to her, and that teacher called me. Okay, so now maybe this isn't the most exciting thing. Come on, folks. Come on. You can get excited about the word, or you can leave it go. But he sanctified you. He set you apart from what? From Satan's authority and his kingdom and his family. We can all, oh boy, the old boy is attacking me again. Well, kick him out. Tell him, get out of here in the name of Jesus. You know what? I mean it. Because I say, well, old somebody is attacking me again. Oh, they're attacking my family. But don't let them. This is how you last. You keep pressing in. You keep pressing forward. Okay, so when Jesus met Mary, remember how he met Mary right after his resurrection? And he said, don't touch me. I have not brought my blood as yet to the Father. Well, he said, I have not ascended to my Father. Well, what he did when he did that, he brought his blood into that mercy seat. He was on the way to heaven first, you know, and then he came back with his own. He put his blood up there. And he presented his blood to God the Father, and he said, here, Father, I paid the penalty for all mankind. And remember, that blood of Jesus is alive right now, and it's on a mercy seat. Okay, now, he is the high priest up there, and he's still ministering in the sanctuary, which is up in heaven. And he ministers the holy things. And you know what one of those holy things is? Okay, there are prayers, our worship. Those are holy things. And he hears them, and he hears them when it comes from a sincere heart. It's our tithes. It's our offerings. It's our alms for the poor. It's our obedience. It's our confession of faith. It's all kinds of things. He's our middleman, Jesus is, and he makes our prayers and petitions beautiful to the Father. And when it's presented in the name of Jesus from the heart in faith, he is a merciful and faithful high priest. Go to Hebrews 4:14. He is, let's say this, he was touched by our feelings of our infirmities. Now, infirmities don't necessarily mean sicknesses, but it can include sickness. Infirmities just mean weaknesses. In fact, you know what it says? He obliterated them, he threw them out, and it actually says that infirmities mean weaknesses that occur as you get older. But he took them out. So don't let them, don't be like the world. And you know what? He knows what it's like to be here on earth. That's what's so cool about him. Okay, so Hebrews 4, 4:14. Yeah, thank you. What did you put up there? Okay. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, this is King James, that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Hold fast means like it's an anchor on a boat. The word fast there in the Greek means it's you're anchored. So hold fast your confession of faith. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted with women. He was tempted with drugs. Everything that we're tempted with, he was tempted with. Jesus was tempted with everything. Why? Because the incarnation. He came as a man. And I could prove that from scriptures in Philippians and Colossians. He came just like we are, stripped of his glory. He didn't lay hands on birds when they were little. He didn't do anything until he was 30 years old, until he was baptized by John the Baptist. Then it says he went into the desert. Then he came out, and he started to do all his signs, wonders, and miracles. But he turned all of this over to us. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need." Now just go back a couple pages and go to Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. Okay, let's use the Amplified this time. Okay. "So it is evident that it was essential that he be made like his brethren," his brothers and sisters, that's us, "in every respect, in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sins." He was empathetic with us because he experienced the things, the temptations that we experience, he experienced. So you can come when you feel like sad or depressed, go to him and say, "God, I know you experienced this and you overcame it." See, that's why I look into Dufresne's ministry, because that woman has written all those books knowing the steps of how to overcome things that she experienced. And you know, that's what I saw other times. People said, "You need to overcome them." And I'd always go, "How? How do we do it? How do we do it?" Yeah, she's got books over books. That's it. And that's what she said. She wanted to know how to carry this thing out. "For because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested, and tried, he is able," but he overcame, you see. And how did he overcome? We've got to learn how to overcome. "He is able immediately to run to the cry of," he can run to your cry, assist you, he can relieve you. "Those who are tempted and tested and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering." So when your finances are down, he can do that too. And God cares. You know, I used to hear people say, "Well, God doesn't care about your finances." But he does care. He wants his people to be able to help other people. You know, who is it taking over the politics? Rich people. Huh. Who took over the banks? People who are messing with us. Rotherhams, way back. Never mind, I was talking to somebody about that. Way back. There's all kinds of conspiracy behind all of this stuff. See, and now they want all your money. They're going to try to look at your account. It's none of their business. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that, though. But Jesus is our high priest forever. And then we're going to, after we take the tithes and offerings, so you can take... pass out the envelopes, either that or pass out. Wake up, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so let's hear. This is what I want you to just say this after me. Because we are tithers, the windows of heaven are opened over us, pouring us out a blessing we can't even contain. The devourer is rebuked for us. He cannot destroy the fruit of our ground. And neither shall our vine cast fruit before the time in the field. And you know, that could even mean investments. Nations call us blessed. Because we are a righteous, delightsome land. And because we are sowers of the kingdom, the hundredfold return is working on our behalf every day. And God is able, because we're given, to make all grace and every favor and earthly blessing come to us in abundance. So that we may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid and support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. And say this, I believe for God to restore lost funds in a multiplied fashion. And because we are investors, our investments are producing mighty fruit. And the Lord commands the blessing on us in our storehouses. And all we set our hands to do. God is our rapidly increasing money supply. And we are money magnets. Okay. Amen. Okay, you can receive it.